I am usually hanging out with the youth. I just want to share, we went on a youth retreat this past weekend, and we had a great time. We went up to Cloudcroft, New Mexico. We had some students surrender their lives to God, which is always awesome. That made it all worth it. We went out to Cloudcroft, and we evangelized in Cloudcroft. We made posters that said free prayer, and then other posters that said everybody needs prayer. And then we split up into groups, and then we had other groups go door to door and knocking on doors, handing out light bulbs, telling everybody, we believe Jesus is the light of the world, and we're giving out free light bulbs. And these students, I'm going to tell you, they were so bold. I was with one of the groups holding the signs, and I was getting nervous because the students were so aggressive. And they were kind of stressing me out, you know. And I was like, man, that person looks mean. Don't stop, stop. And what an experience. God really blessed it. And so we're coming off of that kind of high of just an awesome weekend. But anyway, we're going to pick up tonight. We're going to be talking about George Mueller. And what an inspiration. What an inspiration of faith. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much, God, that you have given us people to look at, to read about, to study, not only in your word, but people that were alive not even that long ago, and God, how you moved in their lives, how you used them, how you answered prayers. And Lord, you are the same God that we read about in the Bible. You haven't changed. And so, Lord, help us to just understand that. Help us to be encouraged tonight by your servant, George Mueller. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, George Mueller, 1805 to 1898, he was known for so many things. He was known primarily for the fact that he made orphanages. He ran orphanages in his lifetime, in his career, if you will. He cared for over 10,000 orphans. And I mean, he had all these orphans well fed every single day, well dressed, well educated, loved, taught the scriptures to them, taught them about faith in Christ. When they came of age, he had given them skills to go on and live their lives. I mean, if you could just imagine the perfect parent, that's what George Mueller was to over 10,000. And he did it all in love for Christ. He's also known for the fact that in everything that he did, he kind of made an agreement with God. And he said, God, I'm never, ever going to ask anyone for any needs that I have. For money, for any resources. Father, whenever there is a need, I'm going to come and just give that need to you. And I'm going to wait until you provide. And that's how he lived his life. He's known for that. And also, of course, he's known for his faith in God, although he would say that he did not have the gift of faith. That's what he would say. He was born again in 1805 in modern-day Germany, which was then Prussia, to Johann and Sophie Mueller. He would get married. He would marry twice. His first wife would pass away. And unfortunately, he would marry again, and he would also outlive her. The life expectancy at this time was 45 years. Mueller lived to be 92. And so I think God gave him so much time because he was just so faithful. And he had all this time on this world to do so much. He would have two children, Lydia and Elijah. Elijah would die at just over 1 year of age, and Mueller would outlive his daughter, Lydia, who would die about 8 years before him. His father was a tax collector, and George Mueller always grew up with money. His father would always give him money because his father wanted him to know how to handle the money, quote unquote. But what happened is it made George Mueller very irresponsible with money. And actually, George Mueller would steal the funds that belonged to the state that were in the possession of his father at the time. George Mueller would steal those funds, and his father would have to replace them. It happened eventually that his father would kind of discover, like, you know what? Somebody's stealing all this money, and I think it's my son. So one day, his father counted a certain amount of money, left it in a room, left George Mueller in the room alone with the money for an amount of time. His father would then come back in, count the money, and realize, okay, there's money missing. Of course, George Mueller would deny it. His father told him, empty your pockets, nothing there. Eventually, his father would say, okay, take off your shoes. And that's where the money was. And so George Mueller goes on, and a lot of this information, by the way, that I get, a lot of it's from an autobiography that he wrote. I read the majority of his autobiography. I looked at several different documentaries, and there's actually a cool website page, several cool website pages, where you can find all of this information. Well, anyway, he goes on to write that between the ages of 10 and 11, he was sent to a cathedral classical school to be prepared for university. And his father wanted him to be a clergyman. Now, in that time, in that day and age, it was that if you were a clergyman, it was looked at as a career. You would go to the university, you would get your doctorate, or your not necessarily your doctorate, but you would get your certificate to be officially a clergyman. And they were paid well by the state. And so his father said, look, I want you to go to the university, not so that you can get close to God, but I want you to have a good, comfortable lifestyle. So he was sent to that school. And actually, George Mueller was a very good student. He actually studied and read a lot. Very knowledgeable. He writes that at the age of 14 years old, his mother passed away. And when that happened, he was out playing cards till 2 in the morning. And the next day, he went with some of his companions to a tavern or a club or a bar. And they were going about the streets half intoxicated. He says, after he heard about his mother's death, he says, I made resolutions to change my life. And he did this. He writes this more than once. I made promises. I made resolutions. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop. But ultimately, he would say that he would still end up getting worse. Around the age of 16, Mueller would end up in jail. Why? Well, because he would go out and at that time he went to a hotel and lived as if though he had all the money in the world. He spent all the money. Then he went to another hotel and pretended to have a lot of money, ran away, got away from that hotel. He was kind of living the catch me if you can lifestyle, literally. A third time he went to a hotel, he was suspected of not having money. Of course, they caught him. He found himself between two police officers and in jail alongside with murderers and all the worst of the criminals. And he says that he spent 3.5 weeks in jail. And this isn't funny, but I always laugh when I read it. He writes, after a severe beating from my father. And that's not funny, right? But his father was obviously not pleased with him. So his father sent him to another school in Halle to be under the strict discipline of a tutor. And at this time, he would take pupils where he would instruct other students in Latin, French, arithmetic, and German grammar. That's how smart Martin Luther was. He spoke those languages. He writes that he made progress there. He got into a good standing with his father. But at the bottom, he says, all this time, I was in my heart as bad as ever, for I was still in secret, habitually guilty of great sins. Well, he says, there came a time when I had no Bible. I hadn't read it hardly ever. I hardly ever went to church. Never heard the gospel preached. Never met anybody who said that with the help of God, they wanted to live according to the Holy Scriptures. And in short, he says, I thought everybody in the world was just like me. Like just partying, living life, enjoying life, nothing to do with God. In 1825, he went on a walk with a friend. Take note of this, Christian. He went on a walk with a friend named Beta. It's a Saturday. And Beta tells Mueller that he's been in the habit lately of going to a meeting on Saturday evenings. And it's like a Bible study. He says, we go there, we sing, we read the Bible. And George Mueller says, I want to go. And Beta kind of knows George. And he's like, this isn't your kind of thing, man. Like, I don't think. And so he convinces Beta to let him go. George Mueller goes along to this Bible study. And he gets there and he apologizes to everybody. He says, I'm sorry, I'm not used to this. I don't know what you guys do. Forgive me for who I am, for what I am. The response to him, he says, he'll never forget. Come as often as you please, they told him. House and heart are open to you. During that meeting, George Mueller writes that they open with a word of prayer. They sang hymns. He said, then they prayed, and George Mueller writes, they got on their knees. And he says, I've never seen anybody get on their knees when they pray. I've never done that. But he's blown away. He says, they get on their knees, they pray, and it just really leaves an impression in him. He says, I was happy, though if I'd been asked why I was happy, I couldn't explain clearly why I was happy. He told his friend Beta, all former pleasures are as nothing in comparison with this evening. And he says, whether I fell on my knees when I returned home, I do not remember, but this I know, that I lay peaceful and happy in my bed. All that started with the invitation of a friend to go to church. Take note of that. That's really cool. Well, he first decided, you know what? I'm going to live my life for Christ. I'm going to live my life for God, and I want to be a missionary. So Mueller would ask his father and say, Dad, I want to go, and I want to be a missionary. His father was very upset with him. He said, son, I've spent so much money on you and all of your education, and you're going to go and waste it on something that's not even a career. You're going to live to be poor. So much so that his father told him he would no longer consider him as a son. So he would go on to go to school without his father's support. All his life, George Mueller had all this money, you know, that his father provided for him, and there was no end to the amount of money. Well, at this point, he's doing his own thing, and he says, I made a decision. I'm going to go, and I'm not even going to ask my father for any more money because I don't feel right doing it. He says, my father wanted me to go and be a clergyman, to be wealthy, to have a nice lifestyle, and that's not what I'm going to do. So I'm not going to go and ask my father for money anymore. And so George Mueller prays to God. He says, God, I want to do this, but I pray that you would provide. Well, it turns out that there were four Americans who were going to college there who didn't understand very well German. And they ended up paying George Mueller so that he would teach them how to read, how to write. He would get some of the notes from the professors, and he would write them out for them. And they would pay George Mueller enough to do his studies. And he says, I even had enough to spare. During that time, this also left an impression in him. He got to stay at a place where they would open up free room for all the poor students of divinity. And it was at an orphan house in Halley. And just remember that, because ultimately this inspired George Mueller. But he lived there for free, and he studied to become a missionary. Here we go. He says, for the first 4 years of my Christian life, I struggled with my Christian walk. And he says, here's why I think I struggled. He says, it's because there is this lack of reading God's word. From this point on, George Mueller has this life where his life revolves around God's word. He reads it every day. He studies it. He would read through the Bible over 100 times in his lifetime from this point on. And he talks about how when he would pray, in the mornings he would say, I don't wake up and pray. I wake up, I do ask God to help me to live for him for that day. But the first thing after that I do, he says, is I read God's word. And it always happens that as I'm reading God's word, God leads me into praying for certain things. And that's how he develops a prayer life. But it always starts with him reading God's word. And he says, I don't just read it just to kind of have the word go through my mind like water runs through a pipe, he says. I read God's word and I meditate on it. I try to understand it. I learned later that George Mueller, as a pastor, he wouldn't read commentaries. He would just do this. He would study God's word. He says, God's word explains God's word. I would read God's word, and his own word would explain the meaning to it. And so he would pray, and he would say, God, I pray you give me understanding in this. What does this mean? And so that's how he lived his life concerning the word. He wrote this in his autobiography. He said, if the reader understands very little of the word of God, he ought to read it very much, for the Spirit explains the word by the word. He also says, and if he enjoys reading the word little, that is just the reason why he should read it much, for the frequent reading of the scriptures creates a delight in them, so that the more we read them, the more we desire to do so. And so his point is, man, you just got to read God's word. If you don't like to read his word, it's because you're not reading it enough. You read God's word, you're going to fall in love with it more. And so he has those encouragements for us. In 1829, he moves to London. And in 1830, he marries Mary Groves, and he begins to pastor a chapel there, Ebenezer Chapel in Tynemouth. Interesting thing, interesting custom in those times. The way they would pay the clergyman or the pastor of a church is they would rent church pews. And the way it worked is the wealthy would pay to sit up front, and the poor would then have to sit at the back. I think today would be like the opposite, don't you think? The wealthy would pay to sit at the back. Anyway, sorry. Not you guys. But that's how it worked. The wealthy paid to sit in the front pews. George Mueller didn't like that. He said, you know what? Scripture teaches that we shouldn't give special treatment to anyone in regards to anything, including how wealthy or how poor they are. So he said, I want you to stop doing that renting of the pews. And they said, well, how are we supposed to pay you? And he said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, put a box up in the chapel and just write that whoever wants to do something towards my support to go ahead and put an offering. And so that's what they did. They put a box at the back of the chapel, And everybody knew that if they wanted to give money towards George Mueller, then they would put money in the box, but he would never ask. He would never tell. Throughout the autobiography of George Mueller, hundreds of times, George Mueller would write, "This day I have 1 pound, 8 shillings, and 5 pennies left, and I don't have enough to buy food for next week." I can't tell you how many times I read that. And over and over and over again, God would provide. He never told his church he didn't have money. They would open the box once every 2 weeks sometimes. And George Mueller would not tell them that he was like flat broke. And he writes that he thinks that they wouldn't open the box and like give him the money because they felt so bad at how little it was. But George Mueller always said, whatever amount was in there was the exact amount that I needed for that week, whether it was to pay the rent or to buy the food or whatnot. So that is how he lived there. In 1832, him and his wife moved to Bristol. Now, this is where everything kind of starts to happen. In Bristol, they take another chapel there, Bethesda Chapel. And at that chapel, Mueller's going to serve for the rest of his life. He's going to end up overseeing these orphanages later on in life. He's going to travel and preach all abroad. But his church that he's going to look over and pastor without a salary is that church right there, Bethesda Chapel. Again, pew rentals, he says, no, not going to do that. He goes there with a friend named Henry Craik. Henry Craik and George Mueller worked together for the rest of George Mueller's life, whether it be in the chapel, whether it be in the orphanage. By the way, George Mueller was an evangelist. He would always walk out with tracts in his pocket, and he would write if he ever came home with any more tracts left in his pocket, he felt so guilty. Well, him and Henry Craik lived that life together. They both told their churches, we don't want to be renting pews. Put a box, and if anybody wants to support us, they can put money. So that is how they lived. In 1832, his first child was born, his daughter Lydia. In 1833, this is where he starts to notice what's happening with the children. In 1833, he writes, I felt this morning that we might do something for the souls of those poor boys and girls and grown up or aged people to whom we have daily given bread for some time past and establishing a school for them, reading the scriptures to them and speaking to them about the Lord. And so George Mueller founded this. He founded the Scriptural Knowledge Institution for Home and Abroad, also known as SKY. And there's a website you can go to. It is still in operation to this day. But the goal was this. They wanted to support missionaries. So to this day, they still do that. They wanted to provide a source where inexpensive Bibles could be purchased and tracts could also be purchased. And also, he wanted to provide day school and Sunday school for adults and children. And that is something that George Mueller was very busy with there. In 1834, his second child was born, Elijah. And this broke my heart again. Elijah got very sick a year later. He writes, my son, our little boy, is very ill. The dear little boy is so ill that I have no hope of his recovery. The Lord's holy will be done concerning the dear little one. On June 26, he writes, my prayer last evening was that God would be pleased to support my dear wife under this trial. Should he remove the little one and take him soon to himself, thus sparing him from suffering? I do not pray for the child's recovery. It was but 2 hours after that that the dear little one went home. And And as I'm studying George Mueller and I read about all the difficulties, I find myself wanting to pray for George Mueller. I feel so bad for him. I almost wanted to cry for him. I almost was, because it's so hard, the things that he also went through. There came a point when cholera had kind of infiltrated and many people were dying. Many people were dying. And he started to see that there were many orphans just in the street, homeless. In that time, they could go to a state-run house, but very much be neglected. If the parents would die, relatives would take in their nephews, nieces, whatnot. But oftentimes, they were so poor, they couldn't take care of the children. Lots of kids were dying. The ones that didn't die, they weren't educated. They weren't cared for. They weren't fed properly. They weren't given any kind of future so that they can get a job. And so George Mueller saw that. And among all the reasons for him starting an orphanage, this was his primary reason. He writes, "I long to have something to point to as a visible proof that our God and Father is the same faithful God as ever he was." That was his primary goal, so that everybody could see he's the same God. "As willing as ever to prove himself to be the living God in our day as formerly to all who put their trust in him." And so this is where he writes about. He says, if I, a poor man, can go and live this way, where simply by prayer and faith, I can go and do all of this for the orphans. And he says, if I were to do this without asking people, without begging for money, without letting people know, but just simply by going to God, what a testimony that would be to believers and non-believers alike. His primary goal was so that the world could see that God is still the same faithful God. Just that really spoke to my heart. It wasn't so that he can, prove himself to be worthy. It was like, you know what, God? I want to live my life so that the world will know that you are still faithful, that you are still powerful, that you still answer prayers, and that simply by prayer and faith, we can do so much for you and your kingdom. That's why he started the orphanages. So, in 1836, where he lived, he started an orphanage. He lived in an apartment number 6 on Wilson Street in Bristol. And you can see there's a few pictures of the students. That's the actual picture of the apartment where he started an orphanage. When he decided to take on children, when he finally concluded that it was God's will for him to do this, this verse spoke to him, Psalm 81:10. He read that God said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." And he took that promise. He made this statement. He said, "If our work be his work, we shall prosper in it." Now, think about that for a second. We all have jobs. We all have careers. I don't care if it's secular or even in the quote-unquote ministry. Is our work his work? If it isn't, there's not necessarily any promise. But if it is his work, as George Mueller says, then we shall prosper. And that doesn't just apply to a pastor, a missionary. I think that applies to every career. Whose work is it? Is it yours or is it God's? So they opened up their home for 30 orphan girls. He saw a greater need. He rented another apartment. And in that apartment is where he would put infant boys and girls. They rented a third apartment to house boys 7 years of age and older. By the end, they had 81 children in total at that point in time, living in the apartments all orphans, all cared for by George Mueller and his wife, all fed, clothed, being educated, loved, treated as a child of God. He instilled in them that just as George Mueller was a son of God, a child of God, so they too could be adopted to be a child of God. That's what he taught them. He writes, the Lord continuously provides for them all. George Mueller never took a loan, never borrowed money. And every time God provided, every single time. One of the girls that grew up at this time in this orphanage would later tell this story. That there was a time when they were called to sit down for breakfast and there was no food. And George Mueller called all the children, come, we're going to pray for the food that God's going to give us. And even some of the children would say, there's no food. And he would say, sit down, we are going to pray. And he began to pray and give thanks to God for the food that he was providing for them. And they got a knock on the door. They opened the door and the baker says, Mr. Mueller, since 2 o'clock in the morning, I haven't been able to sleep. And I had this strong impression in my heart that God wanted me to bake you guys bread. So I stayed up all night baking bread for you all. And he brought all the bread in. Enough for all of the children there. Moments later, another knock on the door. Mr. Mueller, it was the milkman. The vehicle, the milk truck, it's broken down. And it's not far down the road from you all. And by the time I get it to where it was supposed to go, it's going to go bad. Could you use any of this milk? George Mueller says, absolutely. And he says, there is enough milk for all of the children to quench their thirst. And things like that happen over and over in the life of George Mueller to be a witness to those precious orphans. And they saw and learned the faithfulness of God. By 1845, he had rented a fourth apartment. And he had at that time 130 orphans living in there. He ended up getting a letter from a neighbor. And he said it was done so very respectfully. They weren't mean about it. But it was a letter communicating to George Mueller that they were having a hard time with 130 kids living in their apartment complex. It had already happened twice within the previous month that the drains were clogged. They didn't work. Things weren't working. There was a lot of noise going on. So many reasons that they listed to Mueller. And Mueller says, I completely understood them. I knew it made perfect and complete sense. So he started to pray about purchasing a place where he could now build an orphanage. He came across this piece of land, 7 acres, and it was listed for sale for 200 British pounds per acre. After praying about it, after receiving money without asking, after obtaining enough money to buy the land, and praying to God, every single day, he says, I prayed to God that he would allow me to purchase this land. He prays, and finally he has the money. He goes to look for the owner. He goes to his house. He's not there. They tell him, you know what? He's at his place of work. He goes to the owner's place of work. He's not there. They said, well, he's supposed to be back home by the evening for sure. Mueller decides, you know what, I'm not going to go. For some reason, I'm not finding him. God knows what he's doing. So Mueller went home and prayed. The next morning, he goes and he talks to the owner of this property. And the owner tells him, you know what, I've been praying and I was told that somebody came looking for me who wanted to start an orphanage. and I haven't been able to sleep. He said, and I've been praying all night, and God has told me that I need to sell this property to you. And instead of the 200 pounds per acre that I have it listed for, I need to sell it to you for 120 pounds per acre because I need that. That is all I need to pay off other debts that I have. And so Mueller, in 10 minutes, the deal is done. He has 7 acres where he is going to now build a home for the orphans. In 1849, he made Orphan House Notice Number 1. And it was a place that would house 300 orphans. So if you look at this picture, look at that land, look at where he puts that property. Okay, that's a piece of property that he buys. He builds Orphan House Number 1. Now, in Orphan House Number 1, there was 15,784 British pounds that was given to him. Today, that would be equivalent to 2,513 British pounds. And if we were to transfer that into dollars in today's inflation, that would be about $3.2 million that was given to him for the purchase and for the building of this orphan house. That's what he did. After all of his expenses, he said, I had 776 pounds left over, which is in today's currency in dollars, $158,000. And so he made the move. In 1849, he moved all of the orphans from that house on Wilson Street to this orphan house number 1. He noticed that more and more orphans kept applying for residency in need of a place to stay. So, in 1857, again, God providing, again, Mueller not asking for money, he builds Orphan House Number 2 that now could also hold 400 orphans. And so, you see, Orphan House Number 2 is kind of perpendicular to Orphan House Number 1. And there now he can house all of these students. But it wasn't enough. In 1863, God would provide for him to build Orphan House Number 3, which would house 450 orphans. You could see it's added down here at the bottom. He had the money to purchase an extra 7 or 8 acres. And then he built that. Wasn't enough. He built Orphan House Number 4 in 1868, which would house 450 orphans. And then finally, he said, man, I need to build one more. He built Orphan House Number 5 in 1870 for 450 orphans. And so he ended up creating this whole area. It reminds me of Walt Disney, but for a way better cause. Amen? I mean, he acquired all of this land. He was able to build all of these houses. All of these houses had a place for everybody to stay. And in total, he could accommodate 2,050 children. And he opened it up to them. And I have just a few pictures. These children were well taken care of. They all had a bed. They were all well-dressed. They were all educated. On the left, you have girls there shining shoes. On the right, you have girls learning how to sew. You have boys who now had plenty of room to play. Also, George Mueller took advantage of all the property. They would raise crops and gardens. They were taught how to live, how to fix things, how to work on things, how to work with their hands. People didn't like George Mueller because at this time, cheap labor was equivalent to child labor. And the children who were uneducated would grow up and they had nowhere to go, so they were stuck in those jobs. Well, because of George Mueller, the kids, when they were of age, the boys would be kept there till they were 14. The girls were kept there till they were 17. And in their later years, before being released out into the world, the girls would help with the infants. But George Mueller would send these kids off. Every orphan that would leave was sent with a briefcase with two changes of clothes. He would put a Bible in their right hand, a coin in their left hand, and he would tell them, as long as you never let go of what's in your right hand, God will always take care of what's in your left hand. And he would send them with skills. He would find apprenticeships for them. He would find careers and jobs for them. I mean, George Mueller was an amazing dad to thousands of children. Here's another picture of some of the older girls and how they would take care of the young girls. Again, you look at them, they're orphans, but I see peace in their eyes. I see loved, being loved by someone. This is a picture that was taken of over 1,500 boys and girls for the autobiography in 1905. And just look at that. And George Mueller loved all of them. He did all of this again. Why? To show the world that God is still the same God from the Bible who answers prayers and is still powerful. Never asking for any money, only by prayer to God, Mueller would do all of this. In 1870, after all the orphan homes were done, he had just basically finished completing orphan homes numbers 4 and 5. His wife died. And he writes, when she was taken home, I had only a little before opened 2 orphan houses for 900 more orphans. She had labored with all her might for the benefit of thousands of orphans who had been under my care while she was my wife. And she had cared for them with a motherly love. And now, with the ability of receiving 2,050 orphans in the 5 large buildings, she was so greatly needed, and who was so especially fitted by grace and education and gift for this work, was suddenly removed from my side after she had been my helper 34 years in this work. Again, I'm almost crying when I read this. I think, spouse, I'm going to ask you right now, husband and wife, look to each other and just say, I love you. I know nobody wants to do it. Sarah, I love you. Everybody, you know what? George Mueller went through such a difficult time. His wife died just when he needed her. And in all this, he never complains to God. He continually says, the Lord's will be done. He would write that he was happy for her, that she was finally in the place where she had always wanted to be, in the presence of her Lord and Savior. That's how he felt about it. In 1871, he's done building all the orphanages. His daughter Lydia gets married. And he then leaves the orphanages, all of this, all of the 5 orphan homes, to his daughter and her new husband, James Wright, who from that moment on would take over overseeing the orphanages. George Mueller would come back and help. He would live there, but James Wright, his son-in-law, would be the one really overseeing it. Later on in 1871, George Mueller would then marry his second wife, Susanna. With Susanna, at the age of 70, Mueller would go on a 17-year travel spree, preaching and sharing the word of God, telling everybody of all that Mueller had learned about God's faith, about God's faithfulness, about the power of prayer. And Susanna would go with him through all of that. They would travel 200,000 miles, and he would preach in 42 countries. He encouraged Christians to become lovers of the Bible and test everything by the word of God. And mind you, 200,000 miles in this day and age without airplanes. He's traveling by walking, by ship, by train, oftentimes spending an entire week on a train to get from one place to another. I have a picture of a ship there. The Sardinian was the name of that ship. And the reason I put that there is because the captain of that ship wrote of an instance where he had an encounter with George Mueller. There was a time when they were sailing, and he was the captain of the ship, and he writes, "There was so much fog that we couldn't see anything in front of us, literally." And he had told everybody that they couldn't do anything. They had to just stand still. George Mueller walked up to where the captain was and told the captain, "I need to be at my next place where I have to speak. And I've never missed an appointment." And the captain said, "I don't know what you want me to do. There's fog. And I've never seen fog this thick." George Mueller tells him, "Let's go down and we're going to pray." And so grudgingly, this captain goes down with George Mueller. And the captain tells George Mueller, "You know what, I really don't believe in God or in praying." And George Mueller says, "Just come down with me and pray." George Mueller gets on his knees and he prays. And he says, "God, I just pray that you would clear this fog, because I need to get at my next speaking engagement." Simple prayer. The captain says that he started to pray, but George Mueller stopped him. And he said, "No, you don't need to pray. Because first of all, you don't believe in it. And second of all, God's already answered." George Mueller tells the captain, "Go up and go check." The captain writes that he went up and the fog was completely gone. Because of that, the captain came to faith later in his life. And he says, "It was that inspiration, that testimony that George Mueller gave me, that I realized God was real and he does answer prayers." I know this is hard to read, but over a 17-year period, they traveled to all these countries: England, Scotland, Ireland, Switzerland, Germany, Canada, the United States, Egypt, Asia Minor, India. All over the place, George Mueller went and he spoke. And he writes this: "During this time, I have read considerably more than 100 times through the whole of the Old and New Testaments with prayer and meditation. I also state to the glory of God as his witness that in my inmost soul, I believe that all the books of the Old Testament and of the New Testament are written by inspiration. My great love for the Word of God and my deep conviction of the need of its being spread far and wide have led me to pray to God to use me as an instrument to do this and to supply me with the means for it. And he has condescended to enable me to circulate the scriptures in all parts of the earth and in various languages, and has been pleased thus simply through the reading of the Holy Scriptures to bring thousands of persons to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus." And that is what he did. Everywhere he went, he told people about Christ, and they came to faith in Christ. This is a portrait of George Mueller on his 90th birthday. He's already been traveling. He did all his travels. In September of 1895, on his 90th birthday, at a meeting in Bethesda Chapel, a presentation was made to him, and I found this awesome and funny. In acknowledging it, he said that his voice was stronger than it had been 69 years before, and his mental powers were as good as they had ever been. And he's saying, man, I am still strong and able to keep on going. In 1890, his daughter Lydia passed away. In 1894, his second wife died. He writes, today it pleased God to take to himself my beloved wife after he had left her to me 23 years and 6 weeks. By the grace of God, I am not merely perfectly satisfied with this dispensation, but I kiss the hand which administered the stroke. George Mueller lived a life of faith, and he says, I don't have the gift of faith. I just took God at his word. I prayed to God, and I trusted and waited for him to answer, and he just always did. Always did. In 1898, George Mueller died in Bristol. The whole town shut down. So many people, both Christian and non-Christian, saw George Mueller and saw his life and knew that God was real, that God is powerful, that God was a God who answered prayers. And they had been impacted by George Mueller and his testimony. Over 10,000 people attended his funeral. In those 10,000 people, included in their 1,500 orphans. Just grateful for all that George Mueller had done. And literally, time stopped. And they lost George Mueller. There is a museum that you can go to in Bristol. And you can visit all of these. You can visit his grave. You can see pictures of him. He was such an organized person. He has an account of every orphan that went through his orphanages. You can actually go to a website. And if you think that your lineage, your family tree is through that orphanage, you can request information, and they'll if your relative was there, they'll help you figure out if they were. But George Mueller was a very hard worker. You can go and see all that he did. He was a man who believed in prayer. This is the visitor's room as arranged for the daily prayer meeting. And if you notice, on the right-hand side behind the table, there's a fireplace. And there's three chairs, and the chair in the middle has George Mueller's Bible. And this is how every day him and his staff would meet. They would start with reading the scriptures and praying for everything that they could pray for. All in all, for his orphanages and all the donations, for the Bibles and the tracts and everything. In today's funds, what was raised was $281,000. I have some more figures. The number of orphans cared for was 10,024. The amount of Bibles circulated through Sky, what he had founded, 285,407 Bibles, 1,459,506 New Testaments, 21,365 copies of the Book of the Psalms, 222,986 other portions of the Word of God in several languages. Of all the tracts that were given, I did this math several times because I can't fathom or comprehend it. But of all the money that was spent on all the tracts that George Mueller gave out was $9,512 in today's currency, in today's inflation rate. That is the amount of tracts that he and all of his workers and everybody that he supported handed out. By the way, George Mueller kept a log of every donation given. He kept receipts. You can look and see every single person and how much they give if they were named. A few quotes to close. He will never fail you. Be assured, if you walk with him and look to him and expect help from him, he will never fail you. George Mueller said, never give up praying until the answer comes. He said, don't stop praying. If you haven't gotten the answer, don't stop praying. You keep praying. He said, all believers are called upon in the simple confidence of faith to cast all their burdens upon him, to trust in him for everything, and not only to make everything a subject of prayer, but to expect answers to their petitions, which they have asked according to his will and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, in our day, there are so many churches and there's this theology and doctrine of name it, claim it, and people commanding God what they're going to give them. And it's a struggle, but George Mueller had this perfect balance where he said, everything that you asked for has to be according to Scripture, and it has to be according to his will. And if it's his will, then he's going to answer it. Every believer is not called upon to establish orphan houses, charity schools, etc., and to trust in the Lord for means. Yet all believers are called upon in the simple confidence of faith to cast their burdens upon him, to trust him for everything, and not only to make everything a subject of prayer, but to expect answers to their petitions, which they have asked according to his will. I think I just read that. Verses that he lived on, there are so many of them, there's not enough time to go over all the verses that he quoted in his autobiography. Just a couple. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. He took that challenge and lived it out and proved, ladies and gentlemen, those are promises that God will answer. John 14, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I have three more slides. He gives kind of like tips throughout his autobiography. And there is this section titled, How Faith May Be Strengthened. And he gives four things. Number one, the careful reading of the Word of God combined with a meditation on it. How can your faith be strengthened? By the careful reading of the Word of God and meditating on it. Again, not so that it goes through your mind like water flows through a pipe, but meditating on his word, number one. Number two, with reference to the growth of every grace of the Spirit, it is of the utmost importance that we, number two, seek to maintain an upright heart and a good conscience. And he goes on to explain, how can we expect to be living habitually in sin and at the same time have God answer our prayers for his glory? And George Mueller will admit that he had struggles, but he was continuously, it was a struggle, it wasn't a habit, and he was continuously sorry and would confess his sins. So number two, seek to maintain an upright heart and a good conscience. Number three, if we indeed desire our faith to be strengthened, number three, we should not shrink from opportunities where our faith may be tried. And I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that a lot. Because I say, man, you know what? We could do this. I could go and do that. But, híjole, that's going to be hard. I don't know. You know what? I'm comfortable here. And he says, number three, don't shrink from those opportunities. God puts something in your mind. You keep praying about it. And even though you know it's going to be hard, don't shy away from it. And then last, number four. The last important point for the strengthening of our faith is that we let God work for us. When the hour of trial of our faith comes, and do not work a deliverance of our own. Let God work for us. In other words, don't help God with a solution. Wait and let God provide the solution. And until then, wait and continuously keep praying. My last slide. He says, I desire that all the children of God who may read these details may therefore be led to increased and more simple confidence in God for everything which they may need under any circumstances. And that these many answers to prayer may encourage them to pray. So he's saying, man, I hope that as you read my autobiography, that you are encouraged, Christian, to pray. And he goes on to say, particularly as regards to the conversion of your friends and relatives, particularly their own progress in your Christian walk, particularly in the state of the saints whom they know personally. So to be praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Also to be praying for the state of the church of God at large. And then for the success of the preaching of the gospel. George Mueller lived his life so that God could prove to the world that he is still the same God of the Bible. How are we living our life? How are you living your life? What if you and I said, God, I want to live in such a way so that the world around me will know that you are the same powerful God. Who would be willing to do that? Yeah, let's raise our hands. If you are, who is willing to live like that? That's hard, right? That's hard. Let's pray that we decide to live like that. We don't want to be just mediocre Christians. We want to live the way, the mindset of George Mueller. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God who answers prayers. All of the promises that we read about in your word still very much apply to us today. And Lord, in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, we see the darkness in this world. We see the need to be a light, to be the salt of the earth. And Lord, forgive us that we shy away from doing those things that would challenge our dependency and faith upon you. Oh Lord, would you change our hearts? Would you make us those who want to live with that mindset that our total dependence is upon you, that our career, that our job is not our work, but that it's your work? Lord, that we would be an example of not only faith, but just trusting in you. Lord, you never one time have let anyone who depended upon you, you've never one time let anyone down. We've got nothing to lose. So Lord, strengthen us, we pray. May we devote ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.